ピンポンポンピー。 I know I've gone cheap again and didn't use the gong, but I'm in a place where I don't have access to a gong. So what's a person to do? The answer is improvise. And that is the situation a lot of us are in. We're not in China, we're not in Wudang, we don't have a grandmaster teaching us. We don't have access to all the great and wonderful wisdoms that is out there, apparently. All we got is possibly YouTube, maybe some book we took from the library. No, forget the library. Libraries usually don't have much. It'll be the bookstore, if they do, or a catalog of some sort. And a lot of us have a so-called master teaching us, who may or may not have learnt it from another master, who may have learnt it from another master, and that person has learnt it from some mystical guy way back in China. And some of us are lucky enough to have a guy who claims to be a lineage holder. Who knows? But the honest truth is, most of us are doing it on our own. We are walking the Tao on our own. We are discovering what that means on our own. And it's a journey of self-discovery. But today I wanted to talk about another question that I get asked, which is, what's the best way to practice, learn, study, get better at Baguazhang? And throughout my podcast, I have mentioned quite a few different ways. So if you have listened to some of them, you'll get some hints and some guidelines on what's the best way. But I thought I'd turn it around this time and talk about how not to do Baguazhang. Now, for a lot of you who are already listening to me, you already know the answer to this question. And for those of you who want to go deeper, I recommend a good audio podcast. It's actually on YouTube as well, by a Neigong or Neidan master called Damo Mitchell. He has an hour-long segment entitled just that, called How Not to Do Baguazhang. I've listened to it a couple of times. Firstly, for my general learning, and secondly, anything to do with Baguazhang, when people talk about it, I want to hear what they have to say about the subject. And his audio is very in-depth. It's very detailed. So I do recommend it. If you want to start somewhere, just listen to it. What I do also want to get across is that Baguazhang is one of those martial arts. It's like when you're starting out and you try to listen to this audio from Damo Mitchell, you will find it hard to follow, difficult to comprehend. There's a lot of stuff in there that doesn't make sense. And also, it's a lot of people I've seen who are starting out, they want to listen so desperately to the master that's teaching them that anything different or unique, they'll just dismiss it and go, oh, he's full of shit. You know. But there is also this weird thing that as you get better and better at doing Baguazhang, you start to see the wisdom of what's being said. And then you go back to listen to it and you go, ah, I get it now. But by then you already sort of know it. And then it's more like a refresher course. It's the weirdest of things. You either don't know or you're flipped over to the other side. And that's what I mean when I say it's a journey of self-discovery, because there's a lot of stuff in there that touches on Neigong or Neidan, internal alchemy or internal work. There's a lot of stuff that touches on physical training, on how to train. And I don't know how to express it further. It's like learning how to walk in Baguazhang. They will call it sometimes mud wading or walking through mud step. And people try to walk this way. And then when they go watch the videos, you see these masters in China, or it's not even the masters. You watch first the wushu guys, which is a form of gymnastics, doing it, where the movements are overextended, overpronounced, and you try to copy them. And not realizing that to get to that level takes years of natural progression, but it seems sort of instant. That's how you do it. That's how you got to go. And then because it's a gymnastics, which is for competition and show, we forget, we don't ask ourselves the question is, what is being taught is a show. What you are truly learning in Baguazhang is how it's meant to be used. The poetic license that is used in naming something is just there to help people who can't read and write, that when you explain it to them, they can visualize it. This is a critical thing, that when you learn Baguazhang, you need the practical, the practice, the physical practice. You got to do it. And you need to be taught by a master who's competent enough. And then you also need the theory behind it to get a sense of what you're trying to achieve. Because you need to train your mind. You need to train your heart. You need to train your body. And you need to train your spirit. And all those four things, and that's just the minimum, you got to train them all at the same time, because they work together. For guys who are just starting out, the first thing you're training is your body. And believe me, you won't be able even to do some of the moves until it's not about just being fitter and having the fitness. You also got to soften up the muscles and the bones and strengthen them up at the same time. It's a form of tempering. That's why so much of the terminology in Baguazhang deals with alchemy, or if you don't like the word alchemy, it deals with forging. Let's use that word. You know, you got a piece of iron, you have to heat it up in the furnace, and then you got to get the hammer when it's glowing red hot. You know, don't touch it with your fingers, put it on the anvil, and you got to hammer it away. And that process has to be done repeatedly, back and forth, PT, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then when you're just about, you got to quench it. And then you got to check it. And then you got to do the process again, maybe. And it's an ongoing process. It doesn't happen overnight. You can't just have a lump of iron ore. And then with a snap of the fingers, you have a sword. It doesn't work like that. Now, that's why the theory is so important. Yes, it means you have to learn to read a fucking book, because you need to be able to read the manual, you know. But you also have the master. You need both. And then the thing that ties those two things together between practice and theory is experience. That means go out there and test what you know. Experiment, especially in the style of Baguazhang you're doing. And in the beginning, it won't work. It takes a long time. It takes a lot of experience. There are no shortcuts. And in the end, you'll find, if you've started with a group of people, you're going to find yourself on your own. Eventually, it'll be a lonely, solitary path, because you're going to start doing things like meditation. There are many ways of meditation, because Baguazhang is a form of walking meditation. Then you're going to do a form of what is basically a form of spiritual study. Then in itself is a form of alchemy, along with the practical of physical, actually being able to physically use it as a fighting style. But I will say this about Baguazhang being a fighting style. If you've never fought in your life, don't expect Baguazhang to save your ass. It won't. It will take years, decades, for it to be able to save your ass in a fight. Because you need to get to the point where you naturally do Baguazhang as if it's you were born doing it. So long as you have to think about the moves and whatever else, it'll never save your ass. That is why so many of the original masters had two things. They had two things all in common. One, they already knew how to fight. They have the experience. They've been in fights. Whatever sort, however glorious it sounds, whatever, the important bit in the story is, before they started learning Baguazhang, they've had experiences in fights. I'm not saying not necessarily physical, but they've had experience in, let's use a modern term, they've had experience in conflict resolution. Then the second thing they all had experience in was they already had mastered other forms of martial arts that were more practical. The Baguazhang was put on top of that learning. Maybe you'll hear stories about they had to unlearn the old style. No, what they did was they took, let's say, the analogy of a sword. Let's say a katana. That's a good one. They took the original source of the katana, which was either Korean or Chinese straight sword from the Tang Dynasty. It looks like katana, but it lacks the curvature of it, and the steel wasn't folded like Damascus steel. They took that, then they reforged it over time into a katana that we know now with the curvature of the blade and the marbling through the blade. It's a bit of a reverse engineering. Now, both types of swords are good. They did their job, but they met different requirements in life. Now, you can hear through my discussion, I'm using blacksmithing, you know, alchemy terms, whatever, to explain certain things. This is another thing you'll have to get used to if you really want to get good at Baguazhang, that the language used will be different to how most people understand fighting terminology. Now, what I strongly, strongly recommend, because it's time for the whole Baguazhang world, especially in the West, to understand, it is time to start translating the old text and understanding into modern language, not just modern words, but into an idea that the people around us can understand who are learning it. So rather than the Chinese poetic language, which is good for the past and the Chinese way, like monkey collects peach, which is the traditional thing. In Australia, we don't have monkeys. We don't have peaches. Well, we do have peaches in the farmland, but we don't have that everyday analogy. What we've got is, closest thing would be koala in the tree eating eucalyptus leaves. Sounds silly, but in Australia, a person here would understand this because they've seen this. Is it exactly the same thing? No, not in this case. I have to work on it because when a monkey grabs, you know, if you've ever been to an orchard and you went cherry picking, you will know that it's not just picking cherries. There's a certain plucking action to it, to the way you grab it. But then again, that plucking action, it's like, how does that relate to Baguazhang? How does that relate to an actual movement? That's why you won't see all these terminologies in one style transfer over to another style. Now, I'll keep this podcast short because it's really more like a short little comprehension refresher thing. I don't know. It's basically how not to, first I want to just repeat, if you want to start off how not to practice or train in Baguazhang, listen to Damo Mitchell's podcast called How Not to Do Baguazhang. It's a good one. It's the only one out there, really. So you should find it easy on YouTube. It should also come up when you type in Baguazhang podcast. It'll come up at the top. And secondly, how not to do Baguazhang for most of you is let go of the mystical shit. That will come later in life as part of your experience. Don't worry about it too much at the beginning. And secondly, if you've never been in a fight or you've never learned another martial art and reasonably are proficient in it, don't bother learning Baguazhang in the beginning unless you're prepared to take the long road. If you're in a hurry to get somewhere, learn something else. Learn boxing. Learn judo, learn jiu-jitsu, learn something else. They're far more useful, far more practical. The internal styles take a lot longer to learn.